Feel Good to start the hour, and U2 from their debut album, and I Will Follow. Did you ever chuck that note over Bono's fence? Or?
No, not yet, no.
Should tie it to a chocolate
orange. I met him in the Clump.
In the Clump?
Yes,
I met him in
Nice.
Here.
Yes, well, he came to see you. I just bumped into him.
Yeah. Do you think he likes chocolate orange?
I offered to be his cleaning lady, I think, at the time.
Desperate.
It's like, I'll do anything for you.
Do you think he likes chocolate orange?
Why not? Yeah. Who doesn't?
Let's tie a note to a chocolate orange and chuck it over his fence.
I'll try it. I'll
see if we get a response. More on that coffee story now that the BBC's been talking about. From espresso to instant coffee is part of the daily routine of millions. Now research suggests the brew could be linked to a lower chance of developing or dying from chronic liver disease. Now, chronic liver disease is a major health problem around the world and is the third leading cause of premature death in the world. The new study is the latest to suggest that drinking coffee could bring benefits, with previous work suggesting it may help stave off liver cancer and reduce the risk of alcohol-related liver disease. If confirmed, a large part of the world that drinks coffee is protecting itself against severe liver disease, said Professor Paul Roderick, a co-author of the study from the University of Southampton. Writing the journal BMC Public Health, Roderick and colleagues report how they analysed data from 494,585 participants in the UK Biobank, a project designed to help unpick the genetic and environmental factors associated with particular conditions. All participants were aged 40 to 69 when they signed up for the project, with 384,818 saying they were coffee drinkers at the outset, compared with 109,767 who did not consume the beverage. Now, the team looked at the liver health of the participants over a median period of almost 11 years, finding that 3,600 cases of chronic liver disease, with 301 deaths and 1,839 cases of simple fatty liver disease. The analysis revealed that after taking into account factors such as body mass index, alcohol consumption and smoking status, those who drank any amount of coffee and of any sort had a 20% lower risk of developing chronic liver disease or fatty liver disease than those who did not consume the brew. The coffee drinkers also had a 49% lower risk of dying from chronic liver disease. Nectar, isn't it? And even instant coffee works, apparently, although
really?
The ground coffee is much better. I bought a jar of instant last week, actually.
Yeah, I did too.
Just for in case of emergencies, yes. You know, like somebody forgets to order the coffee.
Oh, well, it's ridiculous that we buy these. I mean, buying coffee today has become like buying a piece of jewellery, hasn't it?
Well, I grew up with instant.
Well, so did I.
Yeah, I don't think I had a proper cup of coffee until I was about 14 or 15. And,
right.
And it tasted funny. You know, I wanted to go back to the Nescafe to start with. But now it's the other way around. Instant coffee is only for emergencies. It does give me a kind of nostalgic kind of, you know, boost. You know, the cup of Nescafe, dash of milk.
Exactly. Oh, I can't beat it.
Right. Now, we have a request to play.
We do.
Right.
A very, very good morning to Pedro.
Pedro.
Yes. Good morning. And his beautiful wife.
Ooh.
And, he's made a special request. He would like to hear Vargas and Lagola.
Vargas and Lagola. They sound like they could be a sort of firm of very
Swedish,
expensive coffee merchants.
As is Pedro.
Vargas and... I was going to say, is he Spanish? But that would be stereotypical, wouldn't it, Pedro? Yeah. Vargas and Lagola, then. And they work with Avicii.
They work with a number of artists, yes. From Madonna to Katy Perry.
Rembrandt.
Yes.
Picasso.
Morning, Pedro.
This track's called Rhodes.
The Press Review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
Starting with the I newspaper, hundreds of small British food manufacturers who send their products to Northern Ireland from Great Britain are experiencing problems in deliveries, with experts claiming Brexit red tape is putting their futures at risk. Tax and advisory firm Blick Rothenberg has found that mainland food firms that sold products into Northern Ireland before Brexit are now required under the Northern Ireland Protocol and EU regulations to have a Northern Irish or European Union address on their packaging for traceability purposes. But many smaller firms claim they cannot afford a base in either the EU or Northern Ireland and are being blocked from doing business across the Irish Sea. As Simon Sutcliffe, a partner at Blick Rothenberg, said the vast majority of these smaller and medium-sized food businesses supply directly to stores and outlets. These outlets are not official distributors, nor are they the importer, and the firm has neither a Northern Irish or EU address. The regulations do not permit PO boxes, so these small and medium-sized firms are faced with additional costs to try and find an acceptable solution or stop supplying Northern Ireland.
In the connection of France, French vaccination campaign could miss 20 to 30% of population. Scientists in France fear that the country could hit a glass ceiling when it comes to vaccinations and that the current strategy may not be sufficient to achieve the necessary collective immunity. The current campaign, which focuses on speed and effectiveness, will leave 20 to 30% of the population by the wayside. That's according to the health advisory body, the Académie de Médecine and Medical Researchers.
Sydney Morning Herald says Australia's hit out of the United Nations move to list the Great Barrier Reef as in danger, with the federal government saying it was a flawed process that ignored the government's successful management plans. Scientists have backed the announcements overnight by the UN Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organisation, UNESCO, whose member countries control World Heritage listings, saying the threat of climate change and the government's lack of action is to blame.
And in this morning's Le Mans, the trial has started in the case of a French woman who shot dead a man she says abused her for years, first as her stepfather and later as her husband. Valérie Bacot was just 12 when Daniel Paulette began raping her. He was jailed but later returned to the family home and allegedly resumed the abuse. Miss Bacot admits killing him in 2016, but more than 600,000 people have signed a petition calling for her release.
BBC News is next.
The Press Review, brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayonne Avenue Cannes and BMW Store Monaco.
Tuesday Pop Quiz.
Yes, and it's all about birthdays today. So if it's your birthday today,
happy
then
birthday.
You share it with this UK singer, born on this day in 1961, who with Bronski Beat had the 1980...
Jim Somerville.
Well done. Can you tell me what the...
Small Town Boy.
Very good. You also share it with this American female singer-songwriter born on this day in 1953, who had the US number one in 1984 with Time After Time.
Cyndi Lauper, or Lauper, if you prefer.
Correct. And finally, this musician, who was part of the Scottish rock band Primal Scream...
Bobby Gillespie.
...born on this day in 1964, and Primal Scream, who, of course, were at number seven in the UK charts in 1994 with this.
What?
Well, come on, tell me.
Moving on up.
I thought you were going to play it then. I thought you were so ahead of the game.
Moving on up.
No.
Loaded.
No.
Rocks Off.
Yes.
Okay.
I thought you were getting it ready and then, you know, I'd have cued it and it would have been...
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Have we got this?
Rocks, yes.
Oh, because the Rolling Stones also have a track called Rocks Off from Sticky Fingers.
Oh, but this is 1994, don't you remember? Boulevard Princess Charlotte. Flashmans getting ready to go out. Mark Duncan.
Well, the author Mark Duncan.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You feeling better today?
I wasn't feeling too bad yesterday from what I remember.
Well, you were panicking. You saw the markets are down, inflation, wage pressure. I told you not to worry. I told you they'd bounce back and everything would be fine.
You always take a longer-term perspective on these things, and I think it pays off, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello. Okay, sorry, you're having a little break there. Equity markets rebounded globally yesterday as concerns over the Federal Reserve's hawkish pivot were tempered by the prospect that policy tightening would be gradual, controlled, and a transparent process. European shares up 0.7%. S&P was up 1.4% yesterday. NASDAQ was up 0.8%. Treasury yields on longer dated bonds rebounded, although short end rates remain firmly anchored, resulting in somewhat of an unwinding, not dramatic, of the curve flattening that swept through markets the end of last week. If you look at energy markets, Brent oil hit $75 a barrel for the first time in more than 2 years. This is on signs of a rapidly tightening market. Bitcoin sank towards the $30,000 level as China intensified its clampdown on cryptocurrencies. Given the strong performance saw on Wall Street, good session in Asia overnight. We are looking at a better start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE up 20 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 48 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 24 points.
Pivots rhymes with...
Pivots? I don't know. Are you trying to leave me
divots.
In stunning? Okay. As in golf.
Yes, indeed. The dollar's given back some grounds.
Yeah, giving back some of last week's impressive gains. Yeah, say nothing too dramatic. The dollar index lost a little bit of momentum after that 1.9% gain last week, which was the biggest advance since March 2020. We've been talking about the Federal Reserve. The US Central Bank signaled it would end its ultra-easy monetary policy stance earlier than expected. Sterling recovered up 0.6%. That was after shedding 2% last week. The euro was up 0.25%. Foreign exchange markets fundamentally driven by interest rate predictions and growth rate projections, perhaps with an overlay of value. The US strong growth profile and early policy normalization could well be seen as positive for the greenback.
When are you going back to work then?
September.
Oh, it's September now, is
it?
That's a result.
Why is that a result?
Well, it means you can just hang around in your Bermudas for another couple of months.
It'll be a nice balance. I'm looking forward to getting back to the wharf. I'm looking forward to seeing some colleagues in person. I'm excited about the prospect.
And you'll be slipping in a little summer holiday in between that time, of course.
Well, we're getting close to your annual vacation, aren't we?
No, we're not.
That month off.
It's not even July.
That's only round the corner, isn't it?
Hey. So where are you going? You're obviously not Lake Como this year.
Well, it's still on the cards, it has to be said, although I don't
Have you been fully vaccinated?
I have been fully vaccinated, which is fine, but I think at the moment they've just introduced a 5-day quarantine in Italy for people from the UK. So unless that eases, I don't think that's the case, because quarantining at the Villa d'Este, which rather would be a nice experience, one would suggest, would also be somewhat of an expensive approach.
I don't think you're allowed to sort of choose a luxury hotel to go and quarantine in. You have to go where you're told, don't you?
Oh, OK. I don't know how that works.
And pay for it as well, but that's no problem for you. And Amazon Prime Day. Do you buy a lot of stuff on Amazon?
Mrs. Potts does, I have to say. There's an endless parade of vehicles coming to our house, it appears. Amazon's second day of the Prime sale today, reported by Bloomberg. Actually, many of the deals would be tougher to come by this year due to rising shipping costs, higher advertising rates and scarce inventory. The event comes as manufacturers and retailers, of course, deal with those lingering effects of the pandemic, particularly supply chain disruptions. There was a number of COVID outbreaks in some key city ports in China, which resulted in the goods being shipped were delayed there. Amazon brought forward the sale to June from its typical July slot. In fact, they only gave merchants 3 weeks' notice, so that may also cause problems for them. However, online spending is expected to be strong. Other retailers also looking to surf on the Prime Day wave with their own deals. Amazon is charging merchants more to buy search ads on its sites. Advertising costs spiked more than 50% in May compared to a year earlier.
A bit naughty with their Prime thing, aren't they? Because they say try Prime for free for 3 months or whatever it is, but unless you unsubscribe and it's very difficult to find the exact box to tick on the internet, they hook you up for another year.
It sort of rolls over. You get a fair amount with it. You get, of course, good delivery options. You get the TV options. There's some good stuff on that, I think. Some of those sports.
It's just getting too big, Henk. It's getting too big and too powerful and needs taking down a peg or two, if you ask me.
Well, I think there's a number of regulators around the world would probably agree with you on that one and will be looking to rein in its power. But in some ways, you could argue, listen, it's providing what consumers want, isn't it? It's got a great delivery network. It's incredibly efficient. The backup that they can offer still remains very strong. The customer service seems to be pretty good from what I can tell, and that's a powerful proposition.
It's squeezing out smaller retailers and entrepreneurs, and
they would argue that people can use their platforms. It gives people a much broader perspective in order to sell their goods on than they were ever able to do before. They would probably argue back on that one.
So I'm sure the Amazon workers might not agree with you because very low wages and extremely long shifts. And I just think it's too powerful. It's got too many fingers and too many pies.
Well, okay.
That's what I think.
You can lobby regulators to increase some of their oversights on many of those areas you've alluded to.
I quite like to lob some regulators, but I'm not telling you what with. Right, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar, 1.39 this morning. Euro dollar, 1.19. Going to get €1.16.5 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speak to you tomorrow. Henk Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This
is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce sends the top stories across the Riviera.
Hospital pressure continues to fall in France as figures released on Monday have shown that 1,655 people are currently in intensive care units, a figure well below the 2,000 mark, which continues to fall since the end of April. 48 patients with severe forms of COVID were admitted to intensive care in the last 24 hours in France. 40 people have died from COVID in the last 24 hours, bringing the total death toll to 110,807 since the start of the epidemic in March 2020. In the Alpes-Maritimes, the incident rate is below 20, with health services of the region recording no additional deaths from the coronavirus in the past 7 days. That's the first for almost 9 months. Since the start of the pandemic, COVID has claimed 1,976 victims in the Alpes-Maritimes. According to Public Health France, the incident rate was only 16 on June the 20th. It had stood at over 650 at the start of last March. Intensive care services also continue to empty in the Alpes-Maritimes. As of June the 20th, 18 people were admitted to intensive care in the department, a number that was close to 140 at the end of March. In Monaco, one new case of COVID was declared on Monday, bringing the total number of residents affected to 2,549. Three non-residents are currently in hospital in the principality, and 33 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. On the vaccination side in France, 18.3 million people are now fully vaccinated, and since the start of the campaign, 32.1 million people have received at least one injection. French Minister of Culture has announced that standing concerts will be allowed from June the 30th. Numbers will be limited to 75% indoors, but 100% outdoors. There are different health protocols in place depending on whether the number of attendees is below or above 1,000 people. A sanitary pass, but no mask, will be required for concerts with over 1,000 people. The wearing of a mask is still recommended. And for concerts of less than 1,000 people, a sanitary pass will not be required, but a mask will be mandatory. The French government has also said that nightclubs will be allowed to reopen on the 9th of July. Masks will not be mandatory, but a sanitary pass will be required. Numbers will be limited to 75% of capacity indoors, with 100% capacity being allowed outdoors. In other news, less than 24 hours after announcing the maintenance of his list in the second round of the regional elections in France next weekend, the left-wing candidate Jean-Laurent Felizia, who came third in the first round, has ended up giving in to calls to block the far-right national rally. Arriving third in the first round of the regional elections in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur, the environmental candidate sparked controversy on Sunday by refusing to step aside in favour of the right and to block the far right, the national rally. Teaching unions have complained about what they say is chaotic organisation of the baccalaureate oral exams, which started on Monday. One of the unions said that problems had included examiners expected to be in two different places at the same time. Parents and students quoted in French media have complained of long delays before the start of exams, and teachers in Lyon are reported to have begun industrial action in protest at the alleged lack of organisation. And finally, a copy of the Mona Lisa has sold for a record 2.9 million euros at auction in Paris, and much higher than its estimation of 300,000 euros. The amount is a record for the 17th century Mona Lisa reproduction. A total of 14 bidders took part in the auction, which started last week, but the final winner is reported to be a foreign European collector. The painting, which is known as the Hecking after a previous owner who lived in France and bought the piece for just €5 in Nice in the 1950s, and who was believed that it was the real painting.
The Euro 2020, brought to you by West Nautical, the experts in superyacht charter sales and management. Make your yachting experience the best it can be by contacting our multi-language experts today on 3348902 7211. Or email info@westnautical.com.
Belgium, Denmark and Austria are the latest countries to make it through to the last 16 of Euro 2020. Belgium top Group B following a 2-0 win over Finland. He'll now have to wait to see if they qualify as one of the third best placed teams. Denmark beat Russia 4-1 to finish second, and they'll now play Wales and Amsterdam on Saturday. That's not a bad draw for Wales, really.
It's not bad at all.
In Group C, the Netherlands beat North Macedonia 3-0 and Austria beat Ukraine 1-0. The Netherlands top the group but don't yet know who their opponents in the last 16 will be, while Austria will play Italy at Wembley Stadium on Saturday. The final Group D games are being played today. Scotland play Croatia and will need a win to stand a chance of finishing second in the group, while England play the Czech Republic. Scotland will be without talented midfielder Billy Gilmore, who's isolating after contracting coronavirus. The England pair of Ben Chilwell and Mason Mount are also isolating after coming into close contact with Gilmore. Both games kick off at 9 p.m. If England lose tonight, they'll still go through as one of the best third place teams. And you think France have done that as well, do you?
I think that's the case.
What happened between Russia and Finland last night? Well, it's all shaping up. Let's get some more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Chelsea's Ben Chilwell and Mason Mount are a doubt for England's final group game at Euro 2020 on Tuesday after coming into close contact with their club teammate and Scotland midfielder Billy Gilmore. Gilmore has tested positive for COVID-19. Chilwell and Mount were seen interacting with him after Friday's goalless draw with Scotland at Wembley. With Chilwell and Mount isolating as a precaution, Gareth Southgate hasn't yet ruled them out of Tuesday's game against the Czech Republic.
Well, we don't know at the moment. There's obviously got to be quite a doubt, but there's still a lot of discussions and investigations going on behind the scenes. So they're at the moment, they're isolating, and we just have to find out over the next sort of 12 hours or so.
Gilmore, who is also self-isolating, will definitely miss Scotland's crucial game against Croatia in Glasgow on Tuesday. Here's the Scotland boss, Steve Clarke.
He's upset, as you would expect. Asymptomatic, no symptoms. So hopefully his health will hold up. He won't have too many symptoms. And he'll get back to playing as quickly as possible. Obviously a blow for us in terms of the team, but a chance for someone else.
The Netherlands beat North Macedonia 3-0 at the Johan Cruyff Arena in Amsterdam, thanks to two goals from the former Liverpool midfielder Jorginho Wijnaldum and one from the ex-Manchester United forward Memphis Depay. Dutch captain Wijnaldum was delighted to end the group stage with a perfect record.
I think, you know, that was the thing that we wanted to do, to win all the games in the group. And yeah, if it happens, you're really glad because if you look at the other groups, it's so difficult nowadays to win games easy. And also for us, we have to do a lot to win those games, and that's what we did. So it is a good feeling if you win three games.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Cricket, it was a frustrating day for India and New Zealand as day four of the ICC World Test Championship final was washed out by rain. Only 141.1 overs have been possible in the match so far, with New Zealand still stock on 101 for two in reply to India's 217. A reserve 6 days scheduled, so 2 days remain in the match, but a draw is now the most likely outcome. Tennis, rain has also washed out the first day of the tournament at Eastbourne as well as Wimbledon qualifying matches. Play at both events was abandoned shortly after 3 p.m. The weather does look a little bit better today. The great British summer, eh? Athletics, the six-time Olympic champion Alison Felix has qualified for her fifth Games with a second-place finish in the 400 metres of the US trials. The 35-year-old has 9 Olympic medals in total and returned to the track 2 years ago following life-threatening complications arising from the birth of her daughter. And in cycling, Mark Cavendish will return to the Tour de France for the first time in 3 years when the race begins in Brest on Saturday. The 36-year-old has been named in the Quick Step squad of eight. He has 30 Tour stage wins, just 4 behind the Belgian great Eddy Merckx. Now, Cavendish has struggled for form in recent seasons and was diagnosed with the Epstein-Barr virus in 2017. Not the Tour de France already. Where's that come from?
It'll be Christmas soon.
God, you said that. Fine for saying Christmas.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almara Sea and the Var, the general situation is a depression 1,008 millibars over southwestern Provence. Winds are southwesterly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat 1,010 millibars. And the out for Wednesday, clear skies, force 2 to 4, southwesterly winds, slight seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Course, 1,010 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 2 to 4 variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
Mainly fine in coastal areas, some showers around inland later. Moderate southwesterly winds, highs of 26 to 28 degrees today. Overnight lows 20 to 22 degrees with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday partially cloudy, highs of 26 to 29 degrees.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche. For 30 years, specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
Are you ready for it then, are you?
Yes, completely.
No, you must be mad.
My daughter is saying this. Why can't we listen to Christmas records all year round? What? Why is it just Christmas?
The day after Midsummer's Day. No. I'm not going there. Sorry. Finally.
Oh, what a shame. If you're stuck in a dissatisfying marriage, then alarming new research from Israel suggests you should get a marriage therapy or risk being put in an early grave. Exploring extensive health data going back more than 30 years, a team from Tel Aviv University tracked the deaths and causes of death of more than 10,000 Israeli men.
Gavin!
Being unhappy with your marriage or even perceiving your marriage as bad made the men as likely to die from conditions such as a stroke or blocked arteries at the same rate as smoking.
Great.
And lack of physical activity.
Gavin!
Researchers found that those men who felt their marriage was unhappy were 69.2% more likely to die from a stroke than those who were happy in their marriage. And when considering all cases of premature death among the men, the rate of death was 19% higher in men who said their marriage was unsatisfactory. Authors of the study say health authorities should promote marriage therapy as a way to improve men's health and to help them live longer.
It's Wellbeing Wednesday in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Certainly will be.
We've done relationships, haven't we? So.
Yeah.
I can't remember what we're doing next time. Can you? I'm sure Gavin will remind us.
He certainly will.
Yeah. Last month's addiction was pretty good, I thought.
It was very good, yeah.
Yeah. Wellbeing Wednesday with Gavin Sharp every first Wednesday of the month, which will be... Oh. What's the date? Just trying to work it out.
A senior moment.
It's not next Wednesday, it's the Wednesday after.
It's the 22nd today.
It's the 20th. I know. I did know that. Yeah, I had worked that out.